This is St. Louis Public Radio. Crowd sizes often fluctuate at the ongoing protests following the acquittal of a white former St. Louis police officer on first-degree murder charges. They're often bolstered by a small but consistent core, but there are many who watch from afar. St. Louis Public Radio's Ryan Delaney spoke with some longtime St. Louis residents about why they do and don't protest.
Marianne Tisdale lives in a condo in Creve Coeur. The 77-year-old doesn't venture into the city much anymore. She grew up and lived in North St. Louis in the 1960s. That was the height of the civil rights movement, and Tisdale was in her 20s then. She never took to the streets, even though she says she closely followed the movement for black empowerment. But Tisdale says she was too scared of getting hurt to ever participate. Recent instances of violence toward African Americans, such as the shooting of 9 black parishioners in South Carolina and police officers killing black men, remind her of times as a young woman she experienced racism.
Because I'm looking at, the 50 years or more since that incident, that nothing really has changed.
Tisdale is not the only one struggling whether to devote themselves to civil rights movements. It's a decision many in St. Louis are mulling over today following the acquittal of Jason Stockley on first-degree murder charges, the white former St. Louis police officer killed Anthony Lamar Smith, a black man suspected of dealing drugs, in 2011.
But I praise those people who do, and I just, just upset me when their lives are taken or that they're hurt.
Like Tisdale, Talia Wesley chose not to participate in post-Stockley verdict protests. She's a youth outreach minister in St. Louis's Walnut Park neighborhood, and the 60-year-old says that demonstrators don't have a clear endgame.
So don't come to me telling me to walk if you don't have a plan. You gotta have a vision. Where are we going?
Others have questioned the overall purpose of continued demonstrations, and in response, protesters have pointed to a detailed list of demands, including more power for the Civilian Oversight Board, changes to the police use of force guidance, and the resignation of interim police chief Lawrence O'Toole. Mildred Kleins still finds purpose in demonstrating. The 60-year-old Ferguson resident became heavily involved after Michael Brown's death there in 2014 and has been a fixture at protests in recent weeks.
But I don't know, we always hold out that little bit of hope that we're going to get justice. You know, even though justice never is realized, for some reason, we still hope, we still hold it out.
Felicia Pulliam has been an activist since her college days, when she rallied for the end of apartheid in South Africa. Then the 52-year-old protested in Ferguson and was a member of the Ferguson Commission, which suggested a host of changes to law enforcement and education policies. Pulliam predicts that when people look back at St. Louis in 20 years, the way they do South Africa in the mid-90s now, they'll see this movement against police behavior will have made a difference.
You know, I learned to be patient around it because so much of it is education and so much of it is nurturing of the human being. So will St. Louis get better? St. Louis is already better.
Pulliam knows it's a long, slow struggle to shape a more tolerant St. Louis.
I don't doubt that it's not working. I am weary. It is exhausting. I wish that you wouldn't have to be positioned to fight all the time. You know, the people that are in the streets, they stay in the streets, they're attacked by the police, and then they have to get up in the morning and do their job. These are professional people.
Pulliam isn't going to all the protests, which have continued on a near daily basis for 6 weeks. Instead, she says she's focusing on implementing recommendations of the Ferguson Commission. She's leaving the protest space for new, younger leaders. I'm Ryan Delaney, St. Louis Public Radio.